Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. We thank you and welcome you to another Us Lifting Us Dare to Win call. We're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 10 p.m. And this is Dare to Win, the place where we have a sober discussion about the economic and political plight of Black people and the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. We are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty and the methodology to pass it forward to future generations. And we invite you to stay with us and participate in the conversation tonight. And we're going to get started with the conversation as soon as we come back after we finish up this musical break. Once again, family members, we welcome you to the Thursday night Dare to Win call. And you were just listening to a part of Our Roots Begin in Africa. And we must be loyal to that subject to remember that our roots begin in Africa. And we have a responsibility of regaining control of our roots in Africa and gaining control of our African mind. And tonight we're going to have an open discussion, and we do have a topic. The topic is what the problem is, and we invite you to take notes and participate in the conversation. And I'm Brother Thurman, an Us Lifting Us member, and also joining me tonight, the guest is Sister Q, who is another loyal Us Lifting Us member, along with other Us Lifting Us members and friends of Us Lifting Us that's on the call tonight by telephone and by internet radio. And anyone out there, because we are heard around the world, anyone out there on internet radio, if you got questions or comments, you can reach us by telephone by calling in at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789, and press the number 1 on your keypad when you're ready to with a comment or question. And also, if you needed to listen by internet radio, you go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com, And you can also go to the homepage and look for Ulu Radio and click on that and then scroll down the page and look for Listen Live, and you click on that and you'd be able to listen to us live by internet radio wherever you are on the planet. And as I said once before, we are going to go forth with the topic tonight, what the problem is. And as I said, I'm Brother Thurman, and on the line is Us Lifting Us member, our guest tonight, Sister Q. And Sister Q, welcome to the call, and greet the audience.
Thurman, thank you for the welcome, and good evening to everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you all tonight, and I'm looking forward to some good conversation.
Good, beautiful. Thank you so much. And Sister Q, can you hear me well?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the topic tonight, what the problem is, and this was in a conversation with you, Sister Q, you brought up this unique topic. So to open up the conversation, give the audience some insights on that topic, what the problem is.
Okay. Well, the reason, as you know, I had a radio program, and I also had a website at one time, and the name of the website and the radio program were both What the Problem Is. And we often speak of the need to find solutions for what is happening with us. And in many instances, we don't know what the problem is. So that title came about because we felt that in order to solve the problem properly, you had to know what the problem really is. So if you're not clear on the problem, whatever answer you come up with will probably not serve you well.
Good. That's right. And so we certainly thank you for that to get us started, because you are so right. If we don't know what the problem is, where it came from, and all of those things, then I think we'd just be very, very confused. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I think that's part of what is why we find ourselves in the situations that we do, because we are really not clear. And we ask, we come up with solutions, some of us that are clear on the problem, come up with solutions, and then we figure out why other people can't see the value in the solution we come up with. And part of it is because they don't recognize the problem that the solution fits. So when we say economic empowerment, we feel that that's a solution to, that one solution will solve a lot of things. But a lot of people think that because I have $5 in my pocket, there is no economic problem. So they don't see the value in pooling resources, so we can have a solution that fits more people.
Okay. And when you say they don't see it, what do you think? Do you think that there's something wrong with those people genetically, or is it something that happened after their mother gave birth in this environment? tell us so that we can get greater clarity.
Well, I don't know for sure. I don't think it could be a combination of things. I mean, because we are in an unnatural environment. And I think the more the more we fit into the unnatural environment, the more unnatural we become. So we may think that we're doing well. However, the environment we're doing well in is not a good environment. So it's a limit to the value of what we're doing. And I think the idea that we need to get back to a natural thought process and a natural way of being would help solve or help us better identify the problem so we can solve it. But we're taught to be afraid of natural things. And so generally, the more successful we are, the more afraid of natural things we are, which makes makes our situation become more perilous, I think.
Wow. Some good word there, some good word there. Yeah, I certainly appreciate how you said that we are in an unnatural environment, and then it makes us fearful of natural things. And it made me think of so many things, and one of them is the process of childbirth. And before we were in this unnatural environment, before the invaders came, it was common for sisters to squat to give birth to a child. But what one of the things that was natural and very beneficial and easier is that in the process of squatting, to some degree, the baby, gravity had aided the baby in coming through the birth canal.
Exactly.
And then there was a time when, and this is in some European writings, that some European that had wanted to enjoy for to look between the woman's legs said, lay up on a table and throw your legs up in the air and push the baby out. But when I'm talking about gravity, when the woman is squatting, is helping the baby to exit the birth canal versus, and so some years ago, I was sitting at a table outside with some sisters, and I put a backpack on the table. And I said, imagine that this backpack is a baby and you laying on the table and you got to push it out of you. But I said, but imagine that you squatted on the ground and wouldn't the backpack come out easier? And they said, where did you get this from? Because they were totally unfamiliar with the squatting. And so I brought that up to say, to bring emphasis to what you had said about this unnatural environment. And, and I mentioned, you know, was it something, some of our people think that there's something, most wouldn't come up with what you said, this unnatural environment. Some of them actually, in their mind, actually think it's something just genetically wrong with us because we came out of darkest Africa running around like white Tarzan, swinging through the vines. And we hadn't done nothing but live wild and crazy, and it's just something genetically wrong with us. So what the problem is, that's real conversation that we need to delve into. And we need to, because it's more than we can do in an hour, and we need to really break it down. And so would you say that when it comes to what the problem is and addressing it, is the problem actually attacking us in all subject areas of our lives? Neely Fuller's book talks about the 9 areas of people activity, and a lot of people would say that there's more than 9 areas, but he talks about things such as religion, politics, sex, and war. But have we been made unnatural in our living and thinking in all areas of people activity?
I would say so.
Okay.
Because, again, it's as a product of an unnatural environment, thought processes would be expected to be unnatural in any area. I I'm sure that people who think about how they're living, the behaviors that they have, the things that they think about themselves, I'm sure if they analyze it and thought about what a more natural way of doing whatever it is would possibly be, they could swing more toward the natural. However, the environment itself is quite unnatural. So I wouldn't even say, I don't even know that you could go anywhere on Earth and have a totally natural experience anymore. There may be places where people are still living as they always have, but I'm not for sure of that. People say, well, if we just leave the U.S. or just leave Europe and go back to Africa or South America or wherever, back to the home to the Philippines, wherever, and you get there and you find that it's not as, you know, it has been, you might say, infiltrated with the unnatural. And one of the reasons is that many of us are addicted to unnatural thoughts and behaviors and things like that. So when we go somewhere, we take our addiction with us. And so particularly if we have enough money, we will create an unnatural environment where, rather than fit into something more natural. I'll give you for instance, so you understand what I'm saying. We deal with satellite TV, say. Okay. So we'll go to a place where there is no TV, right? But we can have a satellite shipped in. So we will have a satellite shipped in so we can watch our satellite TV rather than divorce ourselves, we'll say, from the notion of a satellite TV and see how the people where we are, where we have gone, see how they, what do they do for entertainment? What do they do with, are they thinking? You know, because they don't have TV, so they might be thinking of things where we're not thinking. We're plugged back into our TV, even though we're thousands of miles away from so-called civilization. That's why I said we carry our addictions with us and we take them other places and get other people addicted to it.
That's powerful. That is powerful. Yeah, what you as you were talking, I visualize some people have put out pictures over the years that say that they hope there's someone and something out there in the woods, in the rainforest that nobody has ever found, and I hope they never find them because they'll corrupt them. And and then our people, before the invaders came, they had a lot to go through their mind because they were into deep thought about nature, the universe, about the cosmos, and it's another story. But you could delve into the current and the history of the Dogon. They knew what antennas were, similar to like cell phone towers, but you know they knew that from within, and they used their hair as one way of receiving messages from through the antennas, but they also created headpieces that they wore made out of natural things that was to amplify their communication with the cosmos. And they were extremely high culture people. And in comparison to these beings that would be bringing the satellite dish, as you said, to just destroy the people and make them not high culture. They were some low culture, low down people. And so, Sister Q, you've stirred up some curiosity, and we've got a couple of people want to have with a question or comment. So let's give them a opportunity. And caller with the last four numbers, 5921, please give us your name and where you're calling from, and give us your question or comment.
Yes, this is Abdul Halim from Chester, and great conversation. Hi, everyone.
Yeah.
I wanted
Thank
to
you,
say
Thank
two.
You.
Wanted to say a couple of things actually that you brought to mind. One thing was the Amish. They are a good example of people who separated themselves and pretty much balanced their lifestyle over the years. That was one thing I thought about. And then there was one thing you mentioned about. One thing that came to mind was what the problem is that we believe about others. Like we do what other people are doing.
That, for sure.
You got a couple of examples like that. They had an example where they did across the nation where they had some young people they did a study on them. And they said even if you gave the young people everything they wanted, they still wouldn't go into the program because they'd be worried about what other people do. And then there's another thing that I thought about was when we grew up in our younger days back in the 70s or whatever, we would spend the summer in the south and then the winter we would spend up north. So we got, you know, we left the city and went to the country, so to speak, and we did everything different down there that we didn't do up here. So we got used to that. So those couple of things is kind of how we got to this unnatural state, I would imagine. You know, those three things, doing what others do and that lack of balance of getting out of the city sometimes, at least.
Exactly.
And then coming back. And then a good example
would
be the Amish people.
Yeah, I think that is a good example, and I didn't even really think of them. What you're saying about going from the city, you know, spending the winter in the city and the summer in the country, that gave us a different perspective, as you say. And I remember somebody telling me about a movie they saw where it was these guys that had found some money and they wanted to leave the city, but they didn't even know how to get downtown. You know, so some of us are so so stuck in where we are that we can't even imagine going out of our neighborhood in the city where we live in, much less going from the north to the south and staying a while, you know. So
good word.
Yeah,
good
it's
word.
It's a lot of it's like you said, that was in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s. I knew, you know, some of my friends would go south for the summer, but I don't hear. I don't know everybody, so I can't say that doesn't take place anymore. But I don't hear of it, and I think, you know, that's a good thing. Or like getting out to go to camp for a week or two, or something like that. All of these ways to have a different experience, particularly one off the concrete, I think is very valuable for young people.
Yes, I agree
thank
with
you
that.
For that. Thank you. Thank you for bringing those up, too. Very
yes,
good
thank
point.
You, brother. And I'd like to add a real example of how it can transform people to do exactly what Brother Abdul talked about, to spend the summer in the South, in the country. Some years ago, they took some children off the street of New York City that were living New York City street life, in the summertime to the country to a farm for 2 weeks. For two or three days, they were going through some changes, adjusting to going to bed when the sun went down and getting up with the roosters. But after about 3 days, they all had chores and they got up with the roosters every day. And and after about 3 days, the children just fell right on into a groove with that. And so at the end of the 2 weeks, one of the young brothers said to one of the adults, he said, "I can handle this." He said, "The problem is, you are going to send me back to the streets of New York City." He said, "When I get back there, what do you think I'm going to do?" So what he was saying is, I had found some peace. I had found some structure in my life, and now you're going to turn me out back to the streets. And so that, but there's an awakening that can happen by us experiencing exactly what Brother Abdul brought forth to the conversation. And so,
for
Sister Q, we've got another caller on the line, and then we'll continue with what other things you had to tell us, Sister Q. But caller with the last four numbers, 6050, 6050, please give us your name and tell us what you're calling from and give us your question or comment.
Well, my name is Patrick, and it is a really good discussion tonight. I think a lot of these discussions are happening all over. And they have been happening for a very long time about, you know, the things that are wrong and the things that are incorrect. I just want to bring a different dimension to it, because I think we have to look at everything in context. You know, one of the things that each generation likes to do is they like to think back when they were younger and talk about how things have changed, you know, particularly for the worse. As the next generation starts to come up, there's a few things with that, is that if there are things about this generation that we don't like, we have to understand that they were born out of our generation. You know, these kids, these kids don't come from another planet. These kids come from us. So if you know, we have to resist the urge to think that what we were doing and the way we were raised was all great and gravy. And then when these kids come up, things have just changed for the worse, because the generation before us thought the same thing about us.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. So we can't have selective memory, you know, and, you know, we like to think back to the 70s, but there were black exploitation movies in the 70s. There was the pimp culture in the 70s. There was plenty of drugs in the 70s. You know, there was a prostitute culture in the 70s. All the movies, like we can't say that, oh, things were so much better back then. We had some of the same maladies back then. So, you know, I think we need to resist the urge to do that and try to understand not where these young people are and our role in where they are. Our role.
Absolutely.
Them you growing up in single parents' household is not them. That's us.
Exactly.
Right?
You know, thank you very much for that, because I think that now it seems to me that you misunderstood. My intent was not clear. I can't say that you misunderstood. It could be that it was not clear, because I'm one of the people that defend our youth, and I say exactly what you said. They came from us. We are the ones, or the just before us. You know, we talk about thought, word, and deed, how things become reality. So if we put out movies in the 70s that glorified pimp culture and prostitution and drugs and thug life, thought, word, we set our children down and let them watch that, and they became programmed to think that's what life is supposed to be about. We did not create the art forms that would give our children the reality that we would like to see them create, if you understand what I'm saying. If you want to create If you want to create heaven on earth, you can't show your children, immerse them in a culture of hell and think that without great difficulty, they're going to create a heaven. You have to give them a vision of the heaven that you want created.
Right.
So I agree with you 100% that we are the ones who, and a part of it is we didn't know. It's things I know now about how the mind works and how we create reality and stuff. I didn't know that growing up in the 70s. I didn't know that. You know, I'm just learning this stuff now. So it's almost having to step backwards try to bring that forward, if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand and I agree. I agree. You know, also we have to look at things like, you know, we talk about people, you know, there are a lot of things that are happening that are good. And there are a lot of things that are now happening that are opportunities that I think that we overlook. So if you look at, you know, you may say, well, people don't go from the city to the country anymore. However, there are more black people traveling internationally now than more than ever. Right? There are more black people now not only visiting Africa, but actually moving to Africa. There's a 19-year-old girl who didn't go to college and just picked up and took her money and moved to Tanzania.
Okay.
Just picked up and left. She still lives there. She does YouTube videos. She's like, I can't take this anymore. And she just moved. Right?
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, and she does YouTube videos on her getting in, you know, finding a place. And she's just like, yo, I'm out. And there's a lot of people who are out, right? If you look at the statistics, those are good things.
Exactly.
There are a lot of people back in the day to eat. And even though the food now is worse, you find a lot more black people that are vegetarian and vegan.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You see a lot of people now say, I don't eat meat. I don't eat meat either. But you have find a lot of people where you didn't used to find that back in the day.
Exactly. And I think part of it, too, is, you know, a media, I don't know. Like you were saying, the sister is on YouTube. She's doing that. I don't know for sure, and you might know better, that we have a place to go where we can see and know the good things that each other are doing. I wouldn't even know what kind of place to call it. You know, because if you look on the TV for the, you know, ABC and all of those other media outlets, in general, they're not going to have that kind of story for us to feel good about or to be inspired by or anything like that. So my question is, have we created, do you know if we have, if there is someone of us who has created that kind of platform or that kind of portal for us to be able to peep at each other internationally? Because with the internet and all, there's no reason that I can't know with somebody like your girl in Tanzania or anywhere on the globe. On the planet. Would you know that?
If there is any mechanism for looking at that, I think those exist, right? And it may be YouTube, it may be, there are so many, that's another great thing that's going on. I didn't really think that this would happen so soon in my lifetime. The bridges between Africa and the United States has been built very quickly. People are talking, people are communicating. There are people who have channels that have partnered up with African content creators. There's so much going on to build bridges, especially with the young people, right? You know, the music even from Africa now. Afrobeat is big on, you know, now, right? With the young people, right? So there's a lot going on. As far as is there a place? there probably is no one place for everybody, right?
Okay.
Is there a place for you? Probably. But the place that you would want to go to, let's say in Africa, may not be the place that I want to go to. So there's many different places, and I've only been over there once. And when you go out and you see a mountain in Africa and you see this rural area, you're able to see animals and stuff, it's breathtaking.
Right. Okay.
It's absolutely breathtaking.
You were mentioning the content creators cooperating. And I remember not too long ago, I saw a video. I don't remember the name of it. It was a YouTube video of musicians I think it's like 25 musicians. I forgot how many countries. The Atlantic Ocean island countries, you know, Trinidad, Tobago, you know, and they created a music video of these 25, you know, these different musicians from different islands.
Yep.
You know, you get what I'm saying. It's hard.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like what you mentioned about collaboration, which is something I'm not really a techie. You know, so that's something that the young generation has that I don't have. And I think that's something, you know, because we talk about, you know, having to hit the streets to get information out and whatever, you know, you got to put up flyers and billboards, you know, that kind of stuff. And your generation, I can't say your generation because I'm not sure of your age, but I'll call it the techie generation, because there are some people my age and older who do the techie thing too, but they don't have to do that. You know, they can put something together, put it online, and get it out all over the place in a minute. You know, so
absolutely.
We're gonna have to take a short music.
Oh, okay. All right. Brother Patrick, are you going to stay with us?
Excuse me, what was the question?
I asked you, Brother Sherman said we have to take a music break. Are you going to be with us when we come back?
Sure, absolutely.
Yes. And so, family, we thank you for being participating and us actively getting involved. And Brother Patrick, I also want to remind you, you can reach us at info@usliftingus.com. And with your enthusiasm, perhaps you have something that would be vital to our reawakening and getting liberated and doing cooperative things together. And you could be someone that you could reach out to us at info@usliftingus.com, and perhaps you could be on the Dare to Win Thursday night call, and you could, because you may have a whole lot more to talk about than what you've gotten to so far. And so, family, what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief musical break, and then we're going to come back and continue the conversation. And the topic tonight is what the problem is really breaking that down. Family members, once again, we want to thank you for being with us for the Thursday night call and everybody that's on the call by telephone line and by internet radio, and thank everyone that has called in, Brother Abdul, Brother Patrick, and Sister Q, certainly thank you. And the topic tonight is what the problem is. And as we've been led by Sister Q, that talked about living in this unnatural environment, and it's so many other things that we've got to address in all areas of people activity. Brother Patrick told us that when it comes to the younger generation, the ones behind us, we have to look and examine our role in them being where they are. And, of course, that would also mean that we would have to correct misleading the younger ones and make sure that we're not being a part of the problem ourselves and being duped. And so, Sister Q, we want to continue the conversation. And as I said, I used the word about being duped. Duped means a definition would be to be deceived, to be tricked, to be cheated easily, to be counterfeit. And are we okay with that? And if we're okay with that, then that's what the problem is when it comes to those things. It's just like some of our folks, including some of our ministers, said, we have been told lies for so long that they have become like the truth. They ain't, but they have become like the truth. And so all of that is in that. There would be, if we were to create a list of what the problem is, it's just so many ones in about wellness, healthcare, and celebrating European holidays, on and on. So, Sister Q, let's continue the conversation and tell us what other things are flowing through your mind on this topic tonight.
Well, what you just mentioned about our role in being in the dupe process, where we have learned, we have been given information that we accepted as truth, and we operate from that point perspective. So when we can go, as long as we are with people of like mind, we can all go along and we'll all believe that what we know is true, because that we were all taught the same thing. So we all think it's true. And then suppose one person, for some reason or another, is presented with a different set of information, and they study the new information and come to realize that what they thought was true may not necessarily be true. They're not going to say right away it's definitely not true, but it may not be true. It requires more study to see, you know, what the truth could be. And how many people have the inner strength to, when they broach it, you know, when they speak of it to the people that they've been around that held the same belief, and the other people say, no, that's, you know, tell them that what the new thought is not correct, okay? Because we know this is true. What you're saying is incorrect. How many people have what it would take to go off alone to do further study? Or would most people just stay with the information that they're no longer really comfortable with, because they don't want to lose family, friends, they don't want to be alone or whatever? We have that to deal with as well.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. Well, and you're making a very good point, and I would just add to the conversation that I think that all of our problems, whatever it is solvable. And so we have to be persistent enough and consistent enough to find some workable solutions, including workable solutions that will get, that will create a way of thinking that we can come together and talk about anything and all listen to each other calmly. So we have the opportunity to create circles that will not allow us to participate in the circle unless we're going to listen to each other. And I can testify that in 69 and 70, I had the opportunity several times to meet up. It was intentionally arranged circle where some brothers came to talk about anything. And they didn't come to drink. They didn't come to smoke. They came to talk about anything in life, including religion. But we came to the circle with a love and loyalty for our people before we got there. And so every time we talked, including religion, there never, ever was an argument. And so what I got out of that is one of the things that we got to do is we got to help nurture and be persistent about nurturing love and loyalty for each other. And we've got to spread that knowledge that would help us to be in touch with that, including our genetic makeup, our melanin, and all of those things that will motivate us and inspire us to be loving of ourselves. And then we wouldn't be duped. And then we could come to the circle and talk about anything and share thoughts. And when I said something that was on a lower level and you and Brother Abdul, Brother Patrick brought forth something on a higher level after I stopped talking, I would be listening and I would be learning.
Right.
Because that's the way we're going to progress. And so that circle that I talked about in 69 or 70, every time we left that circle, we all knew something that we didn't know before because we came to listen, to hear, and we had love and loyalty to each other.
Exactly.
And so that we can transform it. It's there for us, and we just got to go forth. And the thing about what family and others will think if they are stuck on and been duped and they've got counterfeit information, we still love them. We still talk love language to them, but we don't have to be duped ourselves enough to stay where they're at on that mental, spiritual, mental level. So it's just like Brother Patrick mentioned, you know, he didn't eat meat. I don't either. Haven't for decades. But most of the people that I've ever known in my life, if they're still alive, they're still not all of them. And the number is going down, but still there's huge numbers that still eat it. I still love them, and I ain't got no love lost for them. They ain't no way I'd want to be like them because I know what the results. I know what the results have been for me. I've been freed up. You know, no medical doctors and no surgeries, no pharmaceuticals for years and years and years, and ain't no way in the world I'd want to join them. So I still love them and speak to them and tell them. They hear it.
Exactly.
Now they've got to come forth and reawaken their inner self because their inner self knows better. We got to. So it's our job to expose them. The same as if it's our responsibility to bring forth the cooperative economics model. And if we don't, we're failing the people and we're going forth as if all of us have been duped. And that's not the case.
Exactly. That's very true. I agree with you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, we've got to correct the misinformation, and we've got to come to where we're just totally at peace with speaking the truth and to be intentional, but to be actually committed enough and calm enough. And see, calmness is so many essential ingredients to being able to really be on the path, to be correctly on the path. And one of them, I just mentioned the word calmness. Our ancient ancestors said, when you have mastered calmness, you have found one of the keys to life.
Right.
And so a lot of people, to get them to receive information, is made more difficult for a number of reasons, but one of them is that they're so hyped up and running their mouth constantly, fussing, cussing on the phone, listening to some crazy music, watching some crazy killer cussing television, and they ain't calm. And then add to that, eating processed, chemicalized poison, and then drinking, smoking dope or whatever kind, when we can help and transform them back to that calmness, and now they have mastered a key to life, then now it's easier to listen to each other when we've got back in touch with that calmness that's part of that peace and that harmony and all that we must go back to and go back to our natural self, as you said, because we have been led and still being led to be out of our African mind and unnatural. And so it's just like the word duped, to deceive, to trick. Right now, the people have been so duped in information concerning this virus that a lot of the people that are duped, if they said line up tomorrow to take your vaccination, the duped ones would stand in line. And the ones that their natural self has got greater clarity and they know what the problem is, they wouldn't be in that line.
Exactly. Go
right ahead, sister.
No, I was thinking there is so much information, speaking of the so-called virus. And I say so-called because there's information that it doesn't even exist. The test doesn't test for it. It's nothing. It's a made up concept. Well, as Joe Biden calls Antifa, it's an idea, except Antifa is more real. But somebody came up with this notion and they have fed it to the people, so it has become real to people. And what my question is, okay, according to the CDC, there is no, the words they used was quantitative, they have no quantitative amount or something like that of COVID-19, right? So what they're saying actually is they have none physically. The people that did the PCR test, they said they wanted to do the test for COVID-19, and they asked the CDC for a sample so they could make the test, and CDC told them they didn't have any. So they made a test, testing for what nobody knows. And everybody has, well, to get their story to keep going, people are they talk about how many people have tested positive. But the question has become, they tested positive for what? Now, we know people that have been sick with something, okay? Everybody is saying it's COVID-19, although the CDC, the World Health, all of them say they haven't isolated. They've never seen it. They haven't found it, any of that. So then the question becomes, what are people getting sick from? And nobody's addressing that. If people are getting sick from something, I mean, not necessarily the ones that are getting sick from ordinary, everyday stuff, you know. And it could be that that's what they're getting, you know, because the CDC has not done any flu test since March. So you could have had the flu and they told you it was COVID-19. But flu can go into pneumonia, which could kill you. That's possible, you know. But we don't know. So the CDC is saying that they're not going to be doing flu, they're not going to keep flu numbers this year. So how many people would possibly be just have a flu, but they're told they have COVID-19, which
yes,
under the circumstances of all the fear they're generating could possibly be much more dangerous to the person because of what the body can go through based on the person's belief when they're told that they have COVID-19.
Belief?
So,
wow. Yeah. When you said belief, it reminds me of this medical term called psychosomatic, which means that
exactly.
Somebody can imagine that they've got something, and it was all created mm-hmm. in their mind. Because I think earlier in the conversation, Sister Q, you emphasized that things that you didn't know earlier in life that you know about the power of the mind. And it's just like
mm-hmm.
if the power of the mind can, through that psychosomatic way of thinking, can create an illness that was not there, the mind has
mm-hmm.
the ability, even the illness that is there, can use the mind along with and in conjunction with the energies of the earth, the sunshine and herbs and things like that. And you said
mm-hmm.
earlier in the conversation about we have part of the problem is we are following the ones that are leading us like the Pied Piper down in an unnatural way of living in an unnatural environment. And so a major solution for us to deal with the flu, the COVID, all of these kind of things is to come back into
mm-hmm.
our natural mind, our natural living, and
absolutely.
We would have very much good results. And then as our time, and it's just been a good conversation tonight, but I must say to the family, when the topic, what the problem is, we have to address all subject areas, and one of them is certainly economics. And we must, if we don't take control of the economics of our community, we will forever be at the mercy of others, at the mercy. And we would have to be out of our minds, out of our African minds, to be okay with being at the mercy of others. And COVID, all of the things, the mask and all of these things, we've got to have an awakening. And any of us that are on the call tonight or by internet, if you're not familiar with Us Lifting Us, please go to the website, usliftingus.com, and take a very good look. We've got to break free of our loyalty to this capitalistic, cruel, and brutal system that has kidnapped, raped, and killed and never stopped doing those things to our people, and come back to our original ancient model of pooling our resources intellectually and financially to build businesses and institutions of our own all over this planet amongst our people. And Us Lifting Us is here in place for us, only us. And to be a member of Us Lifting Us, you have to apply. You cannot just join. You have to apply, and you have to be vetted and vetted to determine that you are actually Black African. And there's so much that we can do and we must do for our safety, our sanity. We are in a war is being waged on us. It didn't just start last month or last year or 25 years ago. It started from the first time the invaders attacked us. They have never, ever stopped. And so we would be very foolish to not look at what the problem is and take the appropriate action. The appropriate action when it comes to the cooperative model is that we pool our resources, build for ourselves, and bring forth our economic liberation and leave a legacy for the babies, for the ones that come behind us, and go forth and just build powerfully. And we have Us Lifting Us members all over the U.S., the Caribbean, in African countries, and parts of Europe. If you're not a member, we invite you to join. Bring forth your intellect. Bring forth your dollars. And we're not asking for a huge amount of dollars, but we pool it together collectively. And it's so much that we can do, we must do, for our survival. And as the hour has ended, Sister Q, we thank you so much. You brought forth a very good topic and a good conversation and good participation by the listening audience. And we've got to, Sister Q, continue this conversation of what the problem is, because it's solvable. It's all solvable. And so, family members, it's that time that in the evening that we must quiet our minds. And remember, we're here every Thursday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you've got any questions or comments about the conversation and how you enjoyed the conversation and things like that you'd like Sister Q to come back and talk about in the near future, you can reach us at info@usliftingus.com, info@usliftingus.com. Family members, be well. Get your rest. It's time at this hour to have some quiet moments and go into a deep, deep, divinely protected sleep and let the spirits, the ancestors, the Most High, whoever come to you and feed you, and in the process help to nurture and strengthen your melanin with melatonin in these quiet moments. And Lonnie Liston Smith is going to take us on out with quiet moments. And once again, thank you, family members, and thank you, Sister Q.
Thank you, brother.